Hey friends,
I'm JB
and I'm Sarah,
and this is the Go Podcast.
Welcome to the Go Podcast. You just heard Addison Agan and her song, and we would love for you to check her out. We love Addison and so excited that she is thriving and doing her thing. So check her out, Addison Agan. That's who you just heard. Friends, we're so excited that you're here. We're having fun doing this podcast.
It's been so cool. Just like seeing that people are actually listening to us.
I know. We're kind of surprised.
I know. And we're getting texts and messages like with positive feedback. And we keep telling people we want your honest feedback. So please give that to us.
Whatever. You have not been telling people to give us your honest feedback. You're like, give us a rating, rate us a 5.
I want them to rate us a 5,
well,
but
course.
I still want
everybody wants you.
I still want honest feedback.
Okay, so tell us honestly, but rate us a 5.
Bingo.
Okay.
And we have 10 5-star reviews on iTunes.
So those 10 listeners are our favorite. All the rest of you, we need to talk. We need to have an honesty hour together.
Or you should just go rate and review us. Write something nice if you think that we have something cool going on. Like, let us know on iTunes or Spotify when it gets there. Hopefully it'll be there.
We're working on that.
It's coming soon.
Yes. But yeah, anytime that you can share what's going on here, we appreciate it. Love to get it out there and all that. So again, just super surprised that you guys are actually listening, and we're excited about that. And I'm excited for tonight.
Yeah, it's
Today. It is tonight. We're recording after youth group Sunday night.
Yeah. Youth group was good tonight.
It was awesome.
Yeah, we had a cereal bar, like kind of like a salad bar, but full of cereal and milk.
Yeah, some people thought we were going to make like granola bars, our neighbor Andy.
Or provide granola bars.
Right, but it was like a potato bar or ice cream
Great
bar
example.
Or something like that. Shut up. But it was really fun. And then Connor, your intern.
Connor taught. And yep. He killed it. It was great. And Jaden, who is one of the worship leaders, he's from our church's Leo campus. He came and led worship for us, and he played one of his own songs.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
It was.
And nobody even knew it was his own song until afterwards.
I didn't know. Yeah.
They were
like,
oh,
I've
man.
Never heard this.
They're like, man, this Elevation song is amazing. I'm sure that's what they're all thinking.
You know, I don't know. There's just a certain feeling when students are doing awesome things, and I feel like my heart wells up like a mama, and I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, I just, like, sit back there and, like, grin the mm-hmm. whole time. I'm like, oh, look at them growing up.
They probably think we're so annoying. But anyway, we love them, and we think it's so cool. And Connor is funny.
He is. Like, stand-up comedian funny.
Yeah, and my favorite part of tonight, other than the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, was somebody brought cats to youth group, little kittens. And I'm not going to say who it was, because I don't want her to get in trouble. Can you get in trouble for that?
Know.
Who knows? But
we'll see.
It's very therapeutic. But it is. To hold the cat and it's purring.
And it wasn't planned, but Connor talked about
cats
in his message. That was cool.
There's a bunch of crazy cat people.
Jeez, cat ladies.
Mm-hmm. We had a good weekend, too. I love the royal wedding. I loved it.
I think it's dumb.
I can't get up for anything. And my alarm went off and I was like out of bed, on the couch, ready to go.
Sarah has like work and church and all these other things, and like snoozes her alarm 15 times, and the royal wedding's on, and she's like, oh.
Listen, somebody became a princess. That's a big deal. That's a big deal to me. It just like brings up all of my, like, I don't know, childhood dreams. An
yeah,
American,
you know what I think
is a princess.
You know what I think is weird? An American.
Yeah.
Went and married into to be a princess of the country in which we Americans left to escape from.
Listen, it's coming full circle. Did you see?
Maybe it's just a clever plot to finally take down the Brits.
Is that what we were trying to do, or were we just trying to get freedom? Because
I feel
like maybe we read different textbooks.
Maybe we probably did. History is always disputed.
You did go to a different school, so I don't know what you got taught, but...
That's true. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't get into the royal wedding. I think it's weird. Yeah. Lots of people get married.
I love it. I got up in the middle of the night for William and Kate's wedding. I get all geeked out about when they have babies and what they're going to name them, and I'm such a sucker for it. Yeah. I really am.
Like, tonight, the Billboard Music Awards were on. I feel like all those same people were just at the royal wedding yesterday. And it's like, oh, why? Like, two award shows in one weekend.
There were, like, four famous people there.
At the royal wedding?
No, like, there was, like, the royal wedding. But what you're talking about, like, Oprah and Serena Williams and George Clooney. There weren't that. It wasn't, like, an award show.
I'm positive not all of those celebrities, probably a very small fraction, have any type of relationship with the couple.
You have no idea. You don't know.
Neither do you. You have no idea who these people are.
I know all things about the royal wedding. I have studied, and I have listened, and I have looked at
Sarah,
all the Instagram posts
about
it.
Just yelled in people's eardrums.
I'm sorry, but I feel passionate about this, and people are haters.
Good. Well, while you were watching that, I slept in, and it ruined my day.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm recovered. I got less sleep last night.
It's like your body just gets used to it, and then if you sleep too much, it hates you.
Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, today I'm excited about the topic that we have.
Yes.
We're going to talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me. I came
dude,
a little late. I'm
sorry. We should, like, rap together sometime. That'd be cool.
Absolutely not.
But we're not actually talking about sex, but... We just kind of wanted to talk about the sex talk, I guess, more or less. And just how we go about the sex talk, either as youth workers or as parents, and how important that is. And there's so many different elements of it. And just kind of want to discuss that. So
I think this can be relevant, too, for, like, small group leaders, for anybody that is, you know, trying to disciple someone in the area of sexuality and all of that.
Yeah,
there we go.
Good. Yeah. So I think first let's talk about kind of like where we came from with this. Like, I think within the church over the last 5 years or so, there's been lots of blog posts written about how we were lied to about sex or the church did me wrong because they taught me this about sex.
Purity culture.
Yeah, the purity culture is a huge thing.
And that term is not viewed positively.
Right. Oh, yeah.
If you haven't heard that, you know, when you hear somebody say purity culture,
somebody probably heard purity culture, like, I want to live in a purity culture.
I do.
And you watch the royal wedding, so.
Stop.
All right, so, Sarah, why don't you share a little bit about, like, your view on the sex talk, you know, that... You know, from a millennial's perspective, growing up in the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, so I was raised in the church and learned about sex, sexuality. I think just like anybody would, a friend told me about what sex was first. And then I think siblings kind of hinted to what it might be. And then my mom, and then in fifth grade, they really talked more about that. So just kind of put pieces together as I grew up. And
did you guys have a sex talk at school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so fifth grade, we went down to, like, what is the
company? The Lilly Center?
Yeah, we went down there, and they talked about it and your body and all of that, and we all giggled, and it was all about that. So, yeah, that's what we did. And then my mom is not shy about those matters, and so she would talk pretty often about that and how God wants us to remain pure until we're married. And so that was a pretty common discussion. I'm not saying every day. I'm not saying every week. I'm just saying that compared to other people that I know.
She's like, here's your breakfast, Sarah. Let's talk about sex.
Yeah. No, it was not like that. But it just, I know compared to other people's stories that it was more often talked about with me.
Yeah.
And then as I got into youth group, it was discussed, and we had nights about purity and how important it was to God and how important it was for your marriage to remain pure. And then my parents were kind of reinforcing that at home. And I felt like there were a lot of safety nets put in my life to keep me specifically away from you.
Yep.
I'd so, agree yeah. With so, that. Like, in high school, I didn't have a curfew unless I was with you.
Yeah. When you're talking about purity, so, like, if you were going back to graduating high school, Sarah, what would your definition of purity be?
Don't have sex.
That would be the extent of it?
Yeah, I think even too, like, we probably had those discussions of how far is too far kind of thing, and anything beyond kissing would be impure.
Yeah.
Is what my understanding of that would be. And I would say that I had an understanding that my thoughts should be pure too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think growing up in the church, you hear that. I think that you're definitely, it's been ingrained into us that don't have sex before you're married. But then the pure thoughts idea is also there, but I don't feel like they were ever really connected. And we'll get to that here in a little bit.
Is my story consistent with yours?
Not really. I remember we started having a sex talk, sex series, like third grade, where they just, I think it was more, I don't remember at this point, but I think it was more just introducing you to the body, what the different parts are, what they do. And then we had a unit in third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade, and then in health classes in middle school. So learned about it there. And I think that really kind of introduced us to what sex was. I didn't have older siblings, so my mind wasn't polluted by their garbage. But yeah, I think friends definitely, like, we were growing up in the age of the internet becoming a thing. So you know, being with friends introduced us to, or introduced me to, pornography on different levels, and so that, I mean, you learn a lot through that. And
so you're saying friends, like, and like, would show you it or show you how to get access to it.
I think in our generation and the ones now, you just kind of know. I don't know. I feel like you just kind of discover that stuff, and I think some of it is people showing you, but you know, when you're curious, you start, you know, looking for it. And I think for me, it was probably right around fifth or sixth grade that that started becoming something. I don't know if prominent would be the right word, but just something
that you were aware of.
That I was aware of and knew how to access and could access it if I wanted to. But yeah, so I think I don't remember. Mom, sorry if this is inaccurate, but I don't remember having those discussions very often. Like, I know I didn't like to talk to my parents about stuff. Like,
we can see that in our oldest son already. Like, he's so similar to you. And
yeah, like, if it had to do with, like, girls or faith and religion, like, I did not want to talk. I'll talk to him about sports all day. I'll talk to him about, like, meaningless things. But, like, I really remember girls and, like, my faith, like, are things I did not want to talk to my parents about.
Yeah. So you'd dodge it.
I would, for sure. And I think they would, too. I don't think they would argue that.
Right.
So, anyway, yeah. So, a little bit different. But definitely, I would agree with you that definition of purity at graduation time would have been something along the lines of don't have sex before you're married. But this will probably come up a lot. I think we had really good youth pastors and adult influences in our middle school and high school years. Good home lives, but that really, like, I guess hammered down just that idea that sex is a good thing, but within the bounds of marriage. I don't think I viewed it as something evil or bad.
I want to jump in with this story real quick, because I remember I was actually at Huntington University at a student leader retreat with Hope and Craig Lehman, and us girls were in the dorm, and we were talking with Hope, and I just specifically still can picture the room, can picture her, and I remember hoping, like, sex is amazing, it's awesome. And I was like, I knew that it was good and that it was good for a marriage, but I'd never heard anybody, like, in the Christian world,
talk about
world,
their own
experience, or be excited about it, and, like, like a woman to express that she loved it and enjoyed it. Sorry, Hope, if this is like TMI for the world. Not that the world's listening to her podcast, but
if I know Hope, I think she's gonna be pretty happy about this conversation.
Yeah. Well, but like she was, I don't know. It changed my mindset on it because she was really excited and enjoyed it and said it was amazing and wasn't shy about it. And I was like, I want that. Yeah. You know?
So. I had a similar experience actually at Acquire the Fire. There was a female speaker, and I just remember she got up on stage, like the very first thing she said, she just like screamed, "Sex is good." And I was like, "What is going on here?"
Can you say sex here? Can you say positive things about sex here? Is this allowed?
Yeah. So growing up, the sex talk, the purity culture was don't have sex before you're married. Would you say that's a pretty accurate statement?
Yes.
So then you mentioned the question of how far is too far.
Yes.
That is a question a lot of people, most everybody probably that's been in a relationship have asked at some point. Mm-hmm. Is that a bad question to ask, do you think?
I've heard different responses to that. I think typically when we're asking those questions, how far is too far, our heart's probably not in the right place. I think that that's not always a complete truth statement. I think sometimes you could say, hey, like, I'm really trying to honor God. And I do think the line is gray as far as kissing or holding hands. Some people feel like, you know, holding hands is not appropriate or kissing is not appropriate. I have different views on that. But I also think that there are lines that are too far. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's wrong for a student to ask that, but I do think that having that check-in of, hey, do we have the right heart about this? Because if it's just about, you know, not getting in trouble, is that what we want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think ultimately what we need to identify before, like if we're going to have this conversation with students or with our own kids, I think we have to identify what is our end goal in this conversation. If our end goal is, I do not want you to have sex before you're married, then like unload the dump truck of stats and STD references and, you know, all this stuff and scare them away from having sex. Mm-hmm. But if our end goal is, a pure heart and a pure mind
and a connection and intimacy with God,
then like I think we need to take a different approach to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a hard topic because I don't think that those things are wrong. I think
right. Giving
statistics, I think promoting abstinence, we should be doing that. Right, those are really great things. I just think that teens are clued into our desire or end goal more than we think they are. So if we're just trying...
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is when we are approaching it as we just want you to not have sex till you're married because we want that control or we want you to behave, that is a completely different message or different approach than this is God's highest and best for you and we want you to experience intimacy and fullness with Christ. And that leads you to desire to be pure, not to be pure because you should. So I do. I think that our language changes based on our intent or based on our end goal more so than we even know of. So, like, for example, and this is kind of in a tangent, but to say I have to go to work or I get to go to work, those are completely different statements that really expose our heart of how we feel about work. And so in the same way as we talk with younger people or even people our age who are single and desiring to live a pure life and to honor God, I think our language matters and our language is going to directly reflect our heart on it. And my goal for students is not just don't have sex. My goal is for them to know Christ so well and love him so intimately that they wouldn't want to step outside of his will. And so, yeah, they're going to have temptations. Yeah, they're going to have desires. But that anchor is going to pull them back to make those right choices when maybe nobody else would ever know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like as I'm listening to you share there, I'm thinking of like three other episodes we could do on this same topic.
We like talking about sex.
I mean, maybe. All right, so we've talked about the state of the heart and how like that is ultimately what we want. Mm-hmm. We want our students, we want our kids, we want their heart to be focused on God, focused on Jesus. So how should we go about instilling that within our kids and our students, or teaching that to them?
That's so hard. That's such a good question.
Thank you.
You're smiling all goofy. Oh, goodness. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think it's more than just a once-a-year series or, you know, a one-time talk. You know, I talk to a lot of parents of students that we just did a middle school series on sexuality in a couple months ago. And I talked to multiple parents that, like, that kind of, like, pushed them to have the sex talk with their kid, mm-hmm. which is great. Like, that was kind of part of the goal. Like, we wanted to set parents up to be able to have good conversations, but it has to be more than just like, hey, I had this one conversation. Like in our house, Sarah's a mental health counselor, so she deals with a lot of abuse and just like really bad situations. So mm-hmm. You're very in tune with, like, you know, making sure our kids know what's right and wrong in those areas.
Right.
And so
I am a little hyper focused on that. Yeah.
You've really made it a point to like talk to our boys about, you know, their, you call them their boy parts, and like how that's only their, you know,
right.
That's only theirs. Mm-hmm. Nobody else needs to see it or touch it or, you know, whatever. So I think it starts when they're that young and just helping them to like understand that, their body is theirs and nobody else's. And like, you know, each stage of development, like introducing different things and having an ongoing conversation mm-hmm. rather than just having a talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And two, it is important to teach your kids the right names for their body parts, specifically when it comes to sexual abuse. So if, you know, God forbid that a child would get sexually abused, if they are able to articulate the names for their parts, and maybe it's just important. So mm-hmm. I do call them penises with them, but it's hard, and I kind of cringe, and they giggle kind of because I think they're just laughing at my response to it. I'm trying to make it more normal. Best resource out there, in my opinion, is Dr. Jim Burns. He talks about healthy sexuality. And so us as Christians, how we can raise up, you know, a generation that has healthy sexuality. And I think the biggest thing is we just have to not be scared of it. I think that's why Hope's story sticks out so much to me, because there wasn't any fear. She just shared. And I think that that's what we need to do. Yeah, we need to have appropriate boundaries and all of that. But if we're scared of sex and we keep it as a taboo subject, then we are not going to be a safe place for people to ask questions. And so I know that when I'm leading a small group or something, I'm going to push them a little. I'm going to talk a little bit more about sex. I'm not talking about details or anything like that, but I'm just saying, hey, I could assume in this group that there's going to be sexual struggles. I'm just going to assume that. And so I'll open the door in that way. So maybe they will come up later and say, hey, yeah, actually I have been, and kind of normalizing that struggle to help open the door for communication, because it's like a big part of us. I don't believe sexuality is everything and all that we are, but it is a really big part. And to think about how little we talk about it, it can be really confusing for kids. And I think that's going to push them to the internet to find answers.
Oh, yeah. Google has an answer for everything, and it's immediate.
Yeah. And Google doesn't judge or ask questions back.
It's true, which is helpful in some instances. Mm-hmm. But definitely not where we want our students and our kids going for their doubts and their questions and mm-hmm. their unknowns.
Right now with our teenagers, and even, you know, with my clients, I want to be a safer place to ask questions than Google. And that is a really, really high goal,
mm-hmm.
a really hard goal.
Yeah.
But I'm working towards it. in trying to work on my reaction when a student tells me something scary or not freaking out and being calm and, you know, counting to 10 before I respond.
Yeah. Follow-up question there. When you say when a student asks you something scary, can you, like, quickly just identify an example and then maybe your suggestion on how to react as a youth worker or a parent?
So I've had a student ask me, what do I do if someone sends me a dick pic? I'm sorry, that's sorry if kids are listening. I should have thought of that first, but
we can bleep it out.
I just think it's important to use the language that the students are using. So I think what I hate about that is it's so common. I hear it so often. Not all the time, not every day, not every student, but it's a pretty common practice for a male to send a picture to a female. And sometimes it's as a joke, but sometimes it's...
it does happen a lot.
Yeah. And I, like, when I first heard about it, I think it was a few years ago, I was like, wait, this really happens? Like, explain this to me. And that was my initial response. And I think that's okay to be genuine, like, whoa, what is this? Is that normal? That's not normal, but is it normal in your world?
In our culture, it is normal right now. Like, sending nude pictures is a pretty normal thing for somebody to ask for or somebody to send. Yes. Doesn't make it right or acceptable, but I would say it's a normal thing within teenage culture.
Yes. So just saying, you know, what do you think? I really always like to try to spin the question back to have them answer because I know they already have thoughts. And so if I do that, I feel like I'm opening the door even further for more discussion. So if I say, like, what do you think? You know, when you got that picture, what'd you do initially? And trying to say it in a way that has a lot of empathy because they might not know the severity of it. And then you get the opportunity to explain to them what the child pornography laws are and how serious it is. And then the spiritual side of honoring our bodies and all of that. So, but I don't think we go there right away. And I definitely don't think that we gasp or immediately jump to lectures because some students, they might get that and they didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
And they didn't want it. Or maybe they did and now they're scared and...
Well, I think like somebody that I'm close to, I remember they were a senior in high school and there was a freshman that... sent them a nude picture and they're like, what do I do with this? And
delete it.
That's what I said. Delete it immediately and tell somebody.
Yeah.
Like, just cover all your bases and make sure like this is unasked for, unwanted. Like, I don't know what to do with this. And, I don't have a good answer. I don't know if you have that's my best answer.
No, I think that's great. And I want to take a moment to pause and say, guys, like, it's a whole different world, and I hurt for our teens. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we hide them in a locked room with bubble wrap. But I just hurt for them, and I think part of it is that I really get to hear more than the average person of what they experience. And this isn't meant to scare anyone, but it's just meant to like open our eyes to the reality that they are navigating a very tough situation for them because they're. Hormones are crazy. They have normal curiosities. And too, I think our culture sets them up for failure because our bodies are ready to have sex way earlier than our culture says marriage is okay. And so it's unfair. And so asking for them to be pure is
I think the average average age right now in the United States for marriage is 28.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is insane when your body is ready way before that, at least a decade before that. Yeah. And so it is unfair. I'm not saying that we don't ask kids for purity. I absolutely think that we call students to really hard, high things when they're following Jesus for sure. We push them to that because we know that we can do it with God's strength and that's what he desires for us. But I think we need to acknowledge that culture makes it a very, very hard thing to do.
Yeah. One more thought on that previous question that I asked about how to respond to a question. If you haven't listened to our episode about doubt, we really kind of tackle like how to respond to hard questions that teenagers might ask. Mm-hmm. And that's really applicable in many areas. And we try to model within our youth ministry kind of what Jesus did. You know, when people would ask him questions, many times he responded with a question. Mm-hmm. And like Sarah said, that just opens up more discussion, and it really helps that other person to learn how to think for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean we're just like putting them out on an island and saying, figure it out. Like, we can guide them in that, and we can guide them with the questions that we ask. But just not overreacting and responding with questions and not just like pat answers that we think sound good. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I don't think that really helps anybody.
Yeah, if our desire with our answers is to shut down the conversation because it's scary for us, I think we really need to look at that in that perspective. I also just feel that I want, when I'm interacting with a student or any person, actually, I want to leave them with the thought that I cared more about what they had to say than what I had to say, and that I wanted them to speak their thoughts and their opinions. And I'm not always great at that. I'm chatty and I have tons and tons of opinions. You will find that out on the podcast. But I really do, especially when I am intentional with in a counseling situation or a small group setting or with a student, I want them to know what they think and what they believe and what they're talking about matters to me a lot.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I'm going to jump to next question. When we're talking about teaching or leading purity in all areas of a person's life, do you have like two or three like practical tips or pieces of advice in doing this?
My initial thing, and this is such a cliche but true answer. Cliches are cliches because they're truth statements that make sense. And yeah, they're overset sometimes, but that doesn't make them not true. That's my little soapbox about cliches. But you have to be filled up by God to be able to be pure. Being called to purity is one of the hardest things. It's insanely hard. And again, culture does not help. It's not an excuse, but if you are not connected to Christ, if you're not getting filled up by him, you will not survive.
If you are not filled up by God, you cannot be pure. Is that an accurate restatement of your statement?
Yeah, I think so. I do. Like, I know you could say, yeah, I don't know if we can attain full purity, you know, here on earth, because it's that hard. But I think that our best shot is to be filling ourselves up with God and to be daily filling ourselves up with him. And I'm not just saying Bible reading or prayer, but community and worship and living out our purpose. You know, I think that's one of the big ones, that we can't just sit and wait and say, okay, I can't have sex yet. We got to think about other things.
Yeah.
And a lot of that could be in our purpose. But yeah, I think you have to have God to be able to live a pure life. Do you agree with that, or what do you think?
I agree. I was making sure I was accurately restating it because I felt like it needed to be restated.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, man, there's so much we could go into with this. Mm-hmm. But I think it has to be a conversation. Like, if you are a parent of a teenager or a preteen, go start this conversation. Like, don't go into it completely unknowledgeable. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm using it. Like, do some research, read some articles. There's a lot out there. Like Sarah said, Jim Burns has a lot of good stuff on this area. But read some stuff and just start having a conversation with your kid. If you're a youth pastor, you've probably done a sex series or a purity series before, And that's great. I think those are necessary. We just did a series in both our high school and our middle school this year. Like, I think that's awesome. But it has to be more of a conversation, and it can't just be about a series or a conversation that you have once a year or once in their life. Like, when your kid turns 13, it can't just be like, oh, I talked to him about sex. He should be good to go. Like, no, that's not going to cut it. So go have a conversation with a teenager in your life.
I could just picture all these teenagers' faces as we're like approaching them and like, somebody told me I was supposed to come and talk to you about sex, so let's talk about sex. And they're like, please no, please no.
If you're one of our students listening to this and you're a teenager, go talk to your parents.
Ooh, yeah.
Challenge them. Like, put the ball in their court and say, hey, like, I think we should talk about this. One, I think it'll freak your parents out a little bit. But two, I think it's going to open a door for some good conversation that you need.
I agree. Yeah, it's really hard to invite your parents into that story. Really hard. That's like one of the most uncomfortable things. But also probably one of the most powerful. Because your parents typically are the ones that are around you. They're already set up to try to keep you accountable. And so you embracing that and even calling it to a higher standard to get help, mm-hmm. I think could be a part of a success story.
Yeah, for sure. If you go to your parents and you say, hey, I want to talk about this. I want to make sure that we're doing this well. One, I think that's going to set you up to win.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's probably going to gain you some trust and freedom.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
don't manipulate your parents.
Don't manipulate your parents, but I think it's true. Like, if you're approaching your parents on topics that you know that they should probably be approaching you about, like, I think that's going to, like, I think that says something about you and where you're at and
your character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's not something that you, I don't think you can do it alone.
No, really, for sure. This is definitely an area that you need other people.
Mm-hmm. I also just want to point out that this is not a pass-fail, and that's really important. And we as leaders, parents, whoever, discipling other people, anyone that is, I think everyone's working on purity. I think we can just make that a blanket statement. It doesn't matter if you're married, single, young, old, purity is hard. If we make it a pass, sorry,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
You go.
I was just going to say, marriage doesn't end this battle of purity.
No, it doesn't.
It may even heighten it a little bit, but go on with what you're going to say about pass-fail.
I love that. Okay, so if we make it a pass-fail, one that is really, really detrimental. So if we make purity a pass-fail for someone, so the goal is to not have sex before you're married and you get this pass or fail, one, it kind of gets into the legalistic earning God's grace kind of thing, but it also is really, really harmful to people who have been sexually abused, because when we talk about that of, you know, this is your flower, don't give away your flower, and once you give away your virginity, you're useless or you're used goods. That kind of language for somebody that's been sexually abused when they were a kid or current or whatever, they feel like they've already failed, so why bother trying? And if our goal is an authentic relationship with Christ, a sexual mistake or sexual abuse is not a fatality to their faith. And that is so important for people to make sure that they're communicating to students.
I think that's golden. That's like, nothing is a fatality to God's grace.
To the gospel. Oh my goodness.
So just keep that in mind. If you have screwed up in this area, and especially teenagers, I'm talking to you with this. If you've screwed up, if you feel like you're in a rut and can't figure your way out of it, or if you've been hurt by somebody in this area, God's grace covers all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not damaged, you're not used, you're not, you know, any of that.
And we're all damaged goods.
Oh yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. So welcome to the club. We're all damaged goods.
Yeah. Thank the Lord for Jesus and that that makes us complete, that makes us whole, that makes us righteous. And I'm so thankful for that relief of I don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. If you've never screwed up in this area, like, give us a shout out because I want to meet you because holy crap.
Are you Jesus?
Like, what's up? But
yeah, can we jump to this too? Because I think this is important now to say.
I don't know what you're going to say, but I feel like I have to say yes. So
go on. You do have to say yes. I also think that doesn't change the expectations or the goal or the everybody screwed up, so go ahead and screw up too. That's not at all what we're saying. That's cheap grace, and that's not what we're going for. I do think that in our culture, sexual sin is kind of like speeding. Everybody does it, so it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. Or as long as I'm not sinning as bad as someone else is sexually, so I'm going a little slower, I'm not speeding as much, we really justify it. And I want you to see both sides of it. The motivation comes from the connection and the authentic faith in Jesus Christ to remain pure, not the other way around of just trying to live by the rules.
This is good stuff. And like I said earlier, we could probably have multiple episodes.
I know. I keep going off of tangents and talking. Too. I'm sorry, I'm done.
No, it's good stuff, but we got to wrap it up there. But if you have thoughts or opinions or if you disagree, like, shoot us a message. I'm at jbaldy5 and on everything. Sarah is at slbaldwin16 or at Sarah L. Baldwin. So if you've got thoughts, let us know. We'd love to have a conversation about it and hear some different perspectives. But other than that, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast.
Yes.
And if you have not rated and reviewed us, we'd love to see some reviews. We've got some ratings going now, but we would really appreciate some reviews also. That would be helpful.
Again, those 10 people that have already rated us, you are our favorites. We like you better than everyone else that's listening. We don't have a clue who you are, but we like you better.
Great job. And also, we haven't talked about this, so Sarah doesn't know I'm doing this, but we're going to have a giveaway here soon. Ooh. So be on the lookout for that. It'll be something where you have to like and share some stuff, and we'll give away a gift card. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Go talk to somebody about sex. When the story